Testing in the House Chambers, Legislative Day 126.
Visitors will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the doors. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Shepherd. We'd ask all of our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Shepherd.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful country that we live in and this nation. I pray today a prayer of protection around this nation and those that live here. God, we pray for those that have COVID and are in the hospital and are struggling. We pray for those families and each one of them. We pray, God, you'll put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us as we strive to serve you. God, we pray today that everything that we would do would bring honor and glory to you. God, we thank you for all your blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for September 14th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for September 14th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Calendar. House Bill 24. The clerk will read.
Representative Tolbert, House Bill 24. A bill to be entitled Chimney Rock, Lake Lewis, Deannexation, Annexation, General Assembly of North Carolina Annex.
Gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, is recognized for motion, and the House will come to order.
Your Honor, I would move that we vote yes on this.
The gentleman has moved that the House concur with the on the third reading of the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 24. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the motion to concur with the third reading, Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 24. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. ARP, aye. Bowles on the floor. Okay. Brown, aye. Cooper Suggs, wish to vote. Representative Fisher wish to vote. Brockman. Please show Bumgardner's excused absence, Mr. Clerk. Representative Hannig on the floor. Chair saw him earlier. Representative Gill, did the lady intend to be the only no vote? It's fine. Chair saw Representative Iwer momentarily. We're going to hold the vote open since we did move quickly into the calendar. Good members? Okay. Brockman, aye. Brockman, aye. Iler, aye. Hennig, aye. ARP's already recorded. Looking for Bowles and Riddell, if those gentlemen are here. I saw Bowles earlier. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 104 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House does concur with the on third reading with the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 24. Bill is ordered and enrolled. House Bill 103, the clerk will read as well as the amendment.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 103, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the requirements for certain automatically renewed consumer contracts. Senator Edwards moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 11 through 15, by rewriting those lines to read. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, is recognized for motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we do not concur and would like to be heard on the motion.
Lady has moved that the House do not concur with the amendment to the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 103. The lady has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think the Senate's amendment is bad, but I think that it's not well understood. So by taking it to conference, we can hopefully clarify with some of the people who are concerned about it. If you know people who are concerned, please refer them to us. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the motion not to concur with the amendment to the House Committee substitute to House Bill 103. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 105, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The House has voted not to concur with the Senate amendment to House Committee substitute to House Bill 103, and the Senate will be so notified. House Bill 320, the clerk will read.
Representatives Destin Hall, Bradford, Paré, and Howard, House Bill 320. A bill to be entitled Modernized Remote Business Access, General Assembly of North Carolina Acts.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to concur with the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 320.
Gentleman's moved that the House concur with the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 320, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Members, that was only a minor change from the Senate, and this bill passed overwhelmingly the first time it came through. I don't know of any opposition to it. Appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate, if not the question for the House, is the motion concur of the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 320. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Adams, wish to vote? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 105, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The House does concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 320. And the bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 360, clerk will read.
Senators Heiss and Daniel, Senate Bill 360, a bill to be entitled Prohibit Conclusive Settlements by AG, General Assembly of North Carolina Acts.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, we've already heard a similar bill to this in the House, so I won't be real long today, but I do think it's important to remind everyone of the context and why this bill is necessary. Many of you were here last session in summer of 2020 when, facing a pandemic, we had members of both parties, and I was lucky enough to get to lead that charge on the House side for my side of the aisle, and I work with many of the folks on the other side of the aisle to create a bipartisan elections bill because we were dealing with COVID, and we wanted people to be able to vote safely while also ensuring that we had election integrity. And we did that. We worked for weeks on that bill in summer of 2020, and the ultimate product was a bill that passed 105-14 in the House. How often do you see an elections bill pass 105-14 in the House and went on to pass the Senate, and of course the governor signed that bill, again, summer of 2020. Well, then there was a lawsuit filed not long after that, and the reality was it was a group of democratically aligned groups, Democratic lawyers who often represent the Democratic Party and allies in lawsuits. That's not disparaging them. That's just the reality of what the lawsuit was, and they've got the right to file that lawsuit and be heard in court just like anybody else would. But the problem came in September of 2020 when a supposed or alleged settlement was reached between the governor's state board of elections, the Democratic governor's state board of elections, and Democratic groups who had sued. So essentially it became a friendly lawsuit at that point, even though the General Assembly was a party to that lawsuit. We're not given the opportunity to sign off on it. And you have to remember where we were at that point in time. This is 41 days before the 2020 election. 1 million absentee ballots had been requested. 225,000 people had already voted in this election. And this settlement agreement changed the rules of the game in the middle of an election. So we're changing the rules in the middle of an election. And I don't care how you're changing them. That never makes sense. We should have one set of rules for an election, and they shouldn't be changed right in the middle of it, especially after this body's just come together and enacted a bipartisan bill to deal with an election during a pandemic. Of course, thankfully, the Speaker and pro tem in the Senate filed suit on that settlement, and much of it was overturned. So what this bill would simply do is just, it would require in these lawsuits from now on that the pro tem in the Senate and the Speaker of the House, whoever those people may be, have to sign off on a settlement agreement. It doesn't mean that we're going to get the outcome that the Speaker and the pro tem in the Senate wants. It just means that if you're going to settle a case, then those two individuals, whoever they might be at the time, will have to agree to it. And that makes sense, because that's how a lawsuit works. It's usually parties who have differing opinions about something on each side. They have a dispute. That's why it's a lawsuit. But when it becomes a friendly suit and two friends sue each other so that they can have a pretend settlement agreement and change the laws of the state, it's not right. And it throws doubt into our elections, and it creates chaos in the middle of an election. It doesn't have to be election law. It could be any other type of bill or law that we see. So again, this just lets this body be heard. We're all members of the legislative body, not the executive or judicial branch. We're members of the legislative body. We work hard in here to try to craft laws that are best for the state. Stand up for the legislative body and vote for this bill. Again, it only requires the pro tem, the speaker, to be able to sign off on settlement agreements. And if this body passes something you don't like, and maybe you voted against it and the state sued on it, then let a court decide that. Let a jury decide that, or a judge. Don't let it be decided in a scam settlement that changes the election, changes the rules that this body has passed. I hope you'll support the bill.
For what purpose, the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise.
Thank you. Dash, the bill sponsor question.
Representative Hall, is the gentleman yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Hall, so in this bill, we're really changing the constitutional powers and duties of the Attorney General set forth in the North Carolina Constitution. Is that correct?
I don't think we're changing any of his constitutional powers or duties at all.
Follow-up question?
Gentlemen,
I yield.
He yields.
In your statement, you said that let's change this so the legislative body is the body that will decide on settlements. Is that right?
No, that's not what I said at all. I said let's change it to where the legislative body gets a say.
Okay.
That still means the governor is still a party. So to be clear, and I appreciate the question because perhaps I wasn't clear, and this is an important point, and it can get technical. This doesn't mean that only the pro tem and the speaker will have to sign off. We still have a governor who has to sign off in representing the executive branch. It just says that the governor can't go around and settle a case because his friends have sued him.
Follow-up question?
He yields.
So if the legislative body should have a say in settlements, why isn't a joint resolution of both houses? Why give it to just two people, the speaker and the president pro tem? If the legislative body should have a say in this, it should be the entire legislative body.
Representative Murray, if you give me your commitment that you'll vote for this bill with that amendment, I'll accept that amendment.
Okay. Speak on the bill.
Lady has the floor to speak on the bill and to send forth an amendment if she'd like.
Well, actually, if I did set forth an amendment, it would be for this bill to be a constitutional referendum, because I think we are changing the constitution of this state with this bill. The executive power implements the laws. The legislature passes the laws. The judiciary interprets the laws. Article 3 of our Constitution gives the Attorney General the right to defend all actions in our appellate courts, civil and criminal, to represent the state. It goes on to talk about settlements. The example we had about the elections, if there had not been a settlement, how long would protracted legislation go on? Months and months, and we never would have had a resolution. The laws as they are work, and they work well. It's just like one of our senators across the aisle said, you know, if you don't like the laws, don't be a judge and make the laws. Run for the judiciary. If you don't like what our attorney general is doing in settling cases that constitutionally he is obligated to, then run for attorney general. But this bill is dangerous. It will have protracted legislation. I think it's unconstitutional saying the legislative body shall have oversight of legal proceedings, judicial proceedings. This isn't changing rules in the middle of the game. This was a filed lawsuit. The system worked, and we should not be changing the system because of one outcome of a settlement legally done by the Attorney General that was not in political favor. Please vote against this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Yeah, members, it never ceases to amaze me how smart this body is. The judge has just raised a very good point. I tend to agree with this bill because of something that happened with when Mike Easley was Attorney General and we were fighting over the settling the dispute with the military retirees. The people in the legislature at the time felt we should settle it. The Attorney General at the time felt we shouldn't settle it, and we ended up paying, you know, 20 times on the dollar by not settling. But she's raised a very, very good point here, and we need to take that into account. This is a constitutional decision, and I think it requires a vote by the people. I think that we need to amend this to a referendum. I really do. I think she's right.
For what purpose the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
To speak on the bill.
Lady has four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'm just a little confused because as an attorney who's practiced for years and years, I've never been able to settle, and no judge has been willing to accept a settlement that was not signed by all the parties. The state of North Carolina was a party here. We had an interest. We still have an interest. But we were not even consulted. We actually have a settlement form established by the Administrative Office of the Courts that says the court has inquired as to whether all the parties agreed to this settlement. You don't just settle with a couple of parties unless it's only their issue to be resolved. We still had the state of North Carolina in there as a party, and they should have been. They were listed as a party. They should have been consulted. They should be part of any consent order or settlement because they were a party. It wasn't an issue of us intervening. It wasn't an issue of us seeking out to do something. We were named as a party. We were part of this lawsuit. So there's no reason in the world we shouldn't have been part of the settlement.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 360 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, Bell aye, Reeves, Reeves aye, oh Reeves no, Reeves no. Sorry, that really wasn't intentional. Representative Richardson, how would the gentleman like to vote? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 58 having voted in the affirmative, 47 in the negative. Senate Bill 360 passed a second reading. Without objection, be read a third time.
General Simpson, North Carolina next.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 360 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 360, having passed its third reading, is ordered, enrolled, and sent to the governor. Members, we have reached the end of the calendar for the day and for the week, and I do understand there may be some points of personal privilege. I would ask the body to stay in order and pay attention to those. But I would point out that for next week, instead of having a one-day voting session on Wednesday, it looks like we will have a one-day voting session on Thursday of next week, probably Thursday morning. The reason the chair is looking at that is looking at the public hearing schedule, and I appreciate Representative Carney pointing out to me there's a public hearing at up in Colowee that Tuesday night, and then on Wednesday there's one in Charlotte. So it looks like the day that would result in the least back and forth on the highway might be to do that on Thursday. So that is the plan. If something is to change, I'll make sure that we give notice out in plenty of time. But that's the intention of the chair at this point, that we have votes then. Also, House Bill 264, which we did not reach today, chair is going to withdraw that from the calendar. Mr. Clerk, that's calendar for next Thursday. Lady from Orange, Representative Insko, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in the time-honored tradition of senior members to announce that I will not be filing for re-election. I know that this announcement is usually made on the last day of session, but we may be in session still in December, and filing starts in about 10 weeks, and I want to give people a chance to actually think about this. So anyway, it has been really my honor and my privilege to serve here for 24 years. It will be 24 years. I'm not going away. I'll be here until the end of December 22, I think. So I'll be fussing at you until then. But it has just been an enormously gratifying career. I've learned so much, and I've gotten to know so many really wonderful people and made lifelong friends, and I've been proud of actually being able to make a contribution to the difference that we make for people. I know that one thing we have in common, we have our differences, but one thing we have in common is we have those 80,000 people back home that are depending on us. So I've got 80,000 people that are depending on me to make sure that government works for them and that society works for them. It's a wide range of people with many different needs. But I'm especially concerned about those kids that need help in school, that our future is going to depend on how well educated our next generation is going to be. So it's been gratified to be able to make some differences in those positions, and I hope that all of you will also be able to appreciate the responsibility you have and the progress that you make, and that our differences are really important. I registered as a Republican. Both parties make mistakes. So I thought the Republican Party had left me, and so I became a Democrat. But those things go back and forth. It may change someday and be just the opposite. So keep true to your values. I do want to mention that things have changed here since I first came. We Blackberries were new then. iPhones didn't exist. Portable laptops were really not portable. They were desktop computers. So that, and they were relatively new. So things have changed, and we've gotten more efficient, I guess, maybe. And things will go on changing. So hang in there and love each other and fight the good fight. And I'll see you until December 2022. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Insko. I'm starting to see less and less faces of folks than when I first showed up, so I guess this is the way it works around here, but appreciate your service for sure. Chair directs that House Bill 404, short titles Immunity for 911 Dispatchers, that conference report be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules and returned to the conference committee members. For what purpose does the gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, rise?
Moment of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, you just made that announcement about some of the colleagues that you serve with. I rise today to share with our body that the former member who I replaced, Mr. Donna Bonner, passed early this Saturday, and asked you to keep his family in your prayers. And at the appropriate time, Representative Graham and others, we will put together a resolution to talk about the many great things he did for Robeson County and for the state of North Carolina at the appropriate time. But just do remember his family, Representative Donna Bonner from Robeson County. His old districts were 87 and then 48, and he served from 1997 to 2004. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Representative Pierce. For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Maury Rice?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To give notice of a discharge petition.
Ladies recognize.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to House Rule 39, I'm giving notice I will file a motion and a requisite petition to discharge House Bill 525, allowing ERPOs to prevent suicides and save lives, from the Committee on the Rules calendar operation of the House with the principal clerk today. In accordance with the rules, I've obtained a fiscal note to be included with this petition. Thank you.
Noted. For what purpose, gentlemen from Alamance, Representative Hurtado Rice.
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak to that statement.
Chair directs that the representative statement be read upon adjournment in its entirety and spread across the journal, and the gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today marks the beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month across our nation and is celebrated from September 15th to October 15th. It commemorates the culture, contributions, and histories of American citizens whose ancestries descend from Mexico, the Caribbean, Central and South America, and other parts of Latin America. This observation started in 1968 as Hispanic Heritage Week under President Lyndon Johnson and was then expanded by President Reagan in 1988 to cover a 30-day period. It's important to recognize that for generations, Hispanic and Latino Americans have shaped North Carolina with their stories and contributions woven into the fabric of all of our communities. During this Hispanic Heritage Month, it's important to recognize that Hispanic Heritage Month is North Carolinian heritage as well. Over a million Hispanic or Latino residents here in North Carolina know this place as home. In fact, Hispanic or Latino residents saw the largest increase in any racial or ethnic group in North Carolina over the last decade, according to data from the 2020 census. The state's Latino population grew by more than 300,000 people over 10% of the community. Today, around 1 in 9 residents in North Carolina are Latino. So whether it's in Orange County or Onslow County, I think it's important to recognize that North Carolina cannot succeed unless the Hispanic Latino community succeeds. It's important to recognize that, especially in the midst of a pandemic, Latino residents have been at the front lines as either restaurant cooks, farm workers, educators, factory workers, nurses, and these essential workers have continued to serve North Carolina during this battle with COVID-19. So it's in this part that I believe that North Carolina draws so much of its strength from its immigrant roots. This state is strengthened by the sacrifices and hard work of so many individuals striving to create a better life for everyone, and it's this spirit that makes North Carolina the best place to live, work, and to raise a family. So I hope you all join me this month in recognizing the contributions of the Hispanic community in your districts and your communities as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Hurtado. Also, the chair is happy to extend a special congratulations to one of our staff from the clerk's office, Misty Green, who just found out that she passed the North Carolina bar exam. So, Misty, congratulations on that, on being an attorney. Told her it was a large mask, but I can see her turning red even underneath that. So congratulations. For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Penny, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has four.
The young lady to my left is going to have a special day Friday. It's called a birthday. I think she's going to be 29, the best I recall. But anyhow, I just wanted to call because tomorrow, actually, I'm not going to be here. And so I wanted to wish her a very happy birthday. The plant has been watered, and she will have to make sure she maintains it. But it's been an honor to serve her for the last 9 months, and I just want to say thank you on your special day Friday.
Thank you. Happy birthday. What purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Spoke to our colleague Dana Bumgarner about an hour ago, and I suggested that he might watch the proceedings this morning. I can report to you that his feistiness is coming back. And if he's still watching, Dana, I hope you get better. I miss you, buddy. And if our performance did not satisfy him, I'm sure that he's made appropriate remarks. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Von Hafen, rise?
To give notice of a discharge petition.
Ladies recognized.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to House Rule 39, I'm giving notice that I will file a motion and the requisite petition to discharge House Bill 623, Purchase Permit Required Long Gun, from the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House with the Principal Clerk today. In accordance with the rules, I've obtained a fiscal note to be included with the petition.
Noted. For what purpose, gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
I rise today to give honor and reverence to my lovely wife, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, sweetheart.
For what purpose does the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise?
Point of personal privilege, please.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to report the other half of Randolph, Representative McNeil. He had hip surgery yesterday, and he's taking no pain medicine today. He's home. So just pray for his full recovery very quickly. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Bradford, rise?
A moment of personal privilege. The
gentleman has the floor.
So yesterday, my seatmate had a birthday. So hang on for 1 second. Happy, happy birthday.
What purpose? The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman's recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, many of you asked about caucus this week. We will not be having any caucuses this week to allow the appropriation chairs to continue their work on the budget. So hopefully we can get out of here before December. Thank you.
Christmas babies. I'm a New Year's baby. My birthday is October 3rd.
I said, September 3rd.
You're a New Year's baby.
Members, on Senate Bill 688, short title sports wagering, the chair is going to re-refer the bill to the Committee on Commerce, if favorable, Judiciary 1, if favorable, Finance, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Further notices or announcements? For what purpose, the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, arise.
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to tell everybody my son Samuel and the fine troops under his command are down in Louisiana helping out along with a lot of other National Guard folks. And you got to be careful what you joke about. Because I joked to him, I hope you don't end up having to wait around with the crocodiles, or I mean the alligator, excuse me. He sent me a picture the other day, his first sergeant did a selfie with an alligator in the water right behind him. So I said, it was a shame you couldn't catch him, alligator tail's pretty good. But anyway, really appreciate those folks from all over. I think when our group, my son's group comes home, they're being replaced by some people from Ohio, I think it is. So we just have fine people all over this country that jump in and do what needs to be done when the time comes up. And people sign up, they actually sign up, you know, to go in our military to be able to do those things. And we ought to just praise them and pray God to bless them and thank them. Thank you.
Further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, September 16th
at 11 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Jones moves, seconded by Representative Stevens, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, September 16th at 11 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned.
Of a representative statement, the clerk will read.
A representative statement observing Hispanic Heritage Month. Whereas today marks the beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month, celebrated September 15th to October 15th. It commemorates the culture, contributions, and histories of American citizens whose ancestors came from Mexico, the Caribbean, Spain, and Central South America. This observation started 1968 as Hispanic Heritage Week under President Lyndon Johnson and was expanded by President Ronald Reagan in 1988 to cover a 30-day period starting on September 15th and ending on October 15th. It was enacted into law on August 17th, 1988. And whereas for generations, Hispanic and Latino Americans have shaped North Carolina with their stories and contributions woven into the fabric of communities. During Hispanic Heritage Month, Hispanic heritage is recognized as North Carolina's heritage, and whereas over 1 million Hispanic Latino residents call North Carolina home. In fact, Hispanic Latinos saw the largest increase in any racial or ethnic group in North Carolina over the last decade, according to the data from 2020 census. The state Hispanic Latino population grew by more than 300,000 people, to over 10% of our community. Today, around 1 in 9 residents in North Carolina are Latinos. And whereas, whether in Orange County or Onslow County, the residents of the state must recognize that North Carolina cannot succeed unless the Hispanic Latino community succeeds. Indeed, this month helped all North Carolinians acknowledge the critical role of Hispanic and Latino people in the state's small business, education system, farm, military, and government, and perhaps most importantly, in the fight against COVID-19. Whether as farm workers, restaurant cooks, construction or factory workers, educators, and nurses, these essential workers from the Latino Hispanic community have continued to serve North Carolina during the global pandemic. And whereas in fact, it is in part because of these contributions to the foundation of North Carolina society that its Hispanic and Latino communities have been disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. This is another reason to celebrate this Hispanic Heritage Month, to work towards ensuring the health and well-being of everyone in its or her community as the state works towards defeating and recovering from the pandemic. And whereas, like America, North Carolina draws much of its strength from immigrant roots, this state is strengthened by the sacrifices and hard work of so many individuals striving to create better life for themselves and their children. This is the spirit that makes North Carolina the best place to live, work, and raise a family. Now, therefore, it is fitting to recognize September 15, 2021 through October 15, 2021 as Hispanic Heritage Month and to further celebrate the strength of the state's diversity by continuing the efforts to build more equitable and inclusive North Carolina. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement read in the House placed upon the journal on the 15th day of September 2021, submitted by Representative Ricky Hurtado, James White, House Principal Clerk. Noted.
The Speaker appoints the following conferees to House Bill 103, short title, Automatic Renewal of Contracts. The conferees for that bill are Representative Stevens, Chair, and Representatives Zoka and Zachary. The Senate will be notified by special message.